Let's take our Bibles and turn this evening to the book of Genesis in chapter number 49. Genesis chapter 49, as you're turning there, we've been in the book of Genesis for quite some time. But we're slowing down here. Jacob is gathering his sons, and they've all come unto their father Jacob. And this is before he is about to die, and he is going to give, I guess you could say, his final benediction upon his sons. But in these final words from Jacob, there is both something that has happened and something that will happen. There is, if you would, for many of them, a judgment or pronouncement of something in their past. But there is also a prophecy concerning many of them. And the truth is, as we think about Jacob, as he's saying those things, there is no doubt that he said those things under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. There was no other way to say those things, because he was prophesying of things that he as a man could not know. And he is communicating to his son what is going to be of them and what is their future. And we're going to see that this evening as we look at the two next sons. We dealt with last week the first son, which is Reuben, the eldest. And if you remember, the title of Reuben is Unstable as Waters. And we saw that Reuben was very moldable and influenceable from the influence, outside influences around him. And we see that he, as a result, did not receive the double portion blessing, nor the divine inheritance blessing, the seed blessing. And we see that that was divided between Judah and Joseph. And by application, the double portion would go to both Ephraim and Manasseh, which were the sons of Joseph. Now, this evening, we're going to look at the two next brothers. And what is interesting is they're combined together. And so notice with me, Genesis 49, verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. I want to bring your attention to verse number 7, where the Bible says here, cursed be their anger. I want to preach this evening a message that I've entitled, The Curse of Anger. The Curse of Anger. As we come to this particular section, there's something that brings my attention that is different than all of the other sons in this particular benediction that is addressed to, notice, two of the boys. And so this benediction is actually different than all of the other ones that Jacob is going to give to each one of his sons. In this case, he combines two of the boys. I probably shouldn't call them boys. They were men, grown men at that time. But two of his sons he combines together into one, and those are Simeon and Levi. And the first thing we notice about Simeon and Levi is the Bible says, verse number 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Now, I believe this statement is rather important because Jacob, we know, called these two sons brethren. Now, why would Jacob do that? I think we know that every one of the brothers was present there. But yet he speaks directly to Simeon and Levi, and he calls them brethren, and as he refers to both of them. And so there must be something more that Jacob is trying to emphasize concerning Simeon and Levi. The two brethren here, when we think about the word brethren, it simply means someone who is a kindred, someone we could say they are like each other, or we could say they resemble each other. I think if we look at the New Testament, if you remember, Paul referred to the Jews as his kinsmen according to the flesh. He differentiated the Jews from his brothers who were in Christ, his brethren who were in the flesh. And so as we look at this term, we know that all the men that are there present are all brothers. But here, Jacob, in the presence of all of his sons, says, Levi, Simeon and Levi are brethren. In other words, Jacob is pointing out something that is that these two have in common. They resemble each other. There's something about both of them that resemble each other. They are like each other in this way. And we see what brings them together. Now, we see that they were brethren in their birth. I think that is evident based upon the fact that they were brethren. But also we know that they were brethren in their blemish. Because what is ascribed to them, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments combining both of them of cruelty are in their habitation. Notice in verse number 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. So Jacob here combines both of those sons, Simeon and Levi, and we see that they are not just brethren by birth, they resemble each other because they're born in the same family, but they are like each other in their blemish, if you would, in their character failures. And as a result, they are also brethren in their behavior. So we see that they're brethren in their birth, they are brethren in their blemish, and they're also brethren in their behavior. And this is certainly true in the sense here of their physical birth. However, their combination also deals with the fact that they were similar in character. There's something about both, Simeon and Reuben, that they just did the same thing. Out of all the brothers, think about it. These two are held in as responsible for the same sin that we will find in just a minute back in Genesis chapter number 34. And as we noted concerning Reuben, remember Reuben was the firstborn. He was unstable as water. This was a character flaw that described Reuben. And as we look at these two men, Simeon and Levi, we see that they are cursed because of their anger. Now, we'll describe their anger in just a moment, but I want us to do a little bit of review before we come to this point and to what Jacob mentions. We have to go back to Genesis 34, and so let's go there to Genesis 34 and see what happens. What is Jacob making a reference to? Now, if you remember, I preached a message. We went through the book of Genesis, and I preached a message from this passage here, and we talked about the sin of both Simeon and Levi, but I want you to notice here in the text, Genesis 34, the Bible says, let's begin in verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel, and Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, and lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Now up to this point, there's really nothing wrong. We should, I think, all be angry with sin. It's not something that we should think that is pleasant. We should have a hatred for sin, right? Those that love God hate sin. So far, there's not really any problem. But as we continue reading, verse 8, and Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughter unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get your possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what shall ye say unto me? I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob, I made the point when we went through that message, the title of the message, I believe, was ruin of parental indifference, or the danger of parental indifference. He was talking to Jacob, but the sons are replying, and I'm thinking, where is Jacob? The sons, notice, of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, notice, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, his sister, and they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. And so now there's kind of a council. Before they're going to answer, they're communing with one another, they're conspiring, they're going to trick Shechem and Hamor. And if we go down to verse number 27, we see what happens. Basically, we know he asked them that all the men have to be circumcised if you're going to marry our daughters, and then we will that will be acceptable unto us. And then we go down to verse number 27. After they were circumcised, the Bible says, verse 27, the sons of Jacob came upon the slain, let's go before verse 25. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, here it is, Simeon and Levi. So it is specifically two sons that are referred to here in Genesis 34, Simeon and Levi, who, notice, were Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword, and came upon the city boldly, and slew all the males. And so we see here, the Bible says specifically, Simeon and Levi. Now we're going to see later, all the brethren are going to go spoil all that's in the city. But Simeon and Levi were both the instruments of cruelty. Now I want you to see here, because they're pulling out their sword. The Bible says they pulled out their sword, and they slew those men. Now I want you to remember, both Simeon and Levi pulling out their sword out of anger, they were instruments of cruelty. We read later, verse 27, the sons of Jacob came upon the slain. So that means now all of them, and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses, and that which was in the city, and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob sent unto Simeon and Levi. Now notice, they all went there. But who is held, if you would, as the one who is guilty? It is both Simeon and Levi. He says, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And notice verse 31, and they said, that's Simeon and Levi, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? And that's where it ends. Or so we think. As a matter of fact, if we didn't have Genesis chapter number 39, we would think that this would never be resolved. That Simeon and Levi would never face the consequences of their sin. Now, by the way, it is evident that as we read Genesis chapter number 49, there is always consequence to sin. And here we may think that the story is ended, that Simeon and Levi have got away, but they have not got away at all. It is mentioned now, Jacob speaks of this event in verse 5 of Genesis 49 through 7. And I want you to notice several things here that I want to combine both of these sons, which is Levi and Simeon, but then I want to make a distinction between them. Because there is a way, a sense in which they are brethren, not only in birth, but in their blemish and also in their behavior. But as we look at their history and their past and the prophecy concerning them, they actually went two different directions. What is it that happened? And I want us to see here what we can learn from these two particular sons. The first thing I want us to consider is the will of anger. As we look at verse number 6, the Bible says, O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united, for there in their anger, here it is, they slew a man, and in their self-will, they dig down a wall. And so I want us to talk here a little while about the will of anger. We see in verse number 5, they were called instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. But where did this cruelty come from? The Bible says in verse 6, in their anger they slew a man. And in verse number 7 he says, cursed is their anger, for it was fierce. Their anger was fierce, and their wrath, it was cruel. But in the middle of that he says, in their self-will. In other words, they saw what had happened to their sister, and they decided basically to take things into their own hands. Now, before we go any further, I think we have to have a degree within us that we have to have a hatred for sin. But our position should never be that we need to retaliate. The Bible is very clear, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And it is never given in the power of individuals, it is given, I could say, in the power of government to punish evildoers and to reward those that do good, but it is never given to individuals to retaliate. Never. Some people that use, you know, the expression in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Again, that was talking about the judicial law of Israel. He was not teaching that, hey, if someone does this, no. It's as you think about in the court of law, then you bring it to your local judges and then you settle the matter and it shall be an eye for an eye. But that was within a civil government, if you would. There is no right within any one of us to retaliate and to exercise vengeance, to take things in our own hands. And as we think about the will of their anger, we see, first of all, as we think about their anger, we see that they were unreasonable. The Bible says that they were instruments of cruelty. He goes on to say in verse number 7, for it was fierce, their anger was fierce and their wrath, for it was cruel. So he refers to their actions as cruel and to really their behavior was done in cruelty. It is interesting, he says they were instruments of cruelty. Now the word instrument we has the idea is it is something prepared. That's what the word literally means, an instrument. Something that is prepared. It is often can be referred to as a utensil. You eat your meal, right? You have your fork and your knife. That is an instrument. It is a utensil that you use. It is something that is prepared for your use. It could be something that is a kind of a vessel, a weapon, or like an instrument, the trumpet and the viola. Is that what it's called? And so I almost said the violin, but there's a difference, right? Okay. I don't know what the difference is, but there is a difference. And so we think about the name instrument. It would seem to us that, well, they couldn't help it. Well, they were instruments of cruelty because of their anger. In other words, something took over in their lives that caused them to become instruments of cruelty. And what was it that took over in their lives? It was anger. And as a consequence, we see that they were unreasonable. The word cruelty literally means violence and oppression. It talks about their wrath, that they were cruel, and this is so unlike our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what is said in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 9 concerning the Messiah? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And I'm thinking that's the exact opposite of Simeon and Levi. They were deceitful and they became cruel or violent. That is unlike the Lord. So we see that they were unreasonable, and you think about them, they killed all the men of Shechem. They didn't kill just the man who, if you would, had to defile their sister. They killed all the men of Shechem, every one of them. They spoiled all that they had. And so we see that, and by the way, that's what anger always does. Anger is always unreasonable. They were unreasonable. We also see that they were unrestrained. Unrestrained. The Bible says here in verse number 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. Now, it is interesting here because the word fierce is the same Hebrew word that is used in the positive light concerning Reuben. If you remember, back in Genesis 49, the last word of verse 3, Reuben is called the excellency of power. Now the word power is the same Hebrew word as the word fierce. In its neutral sense or in the positive sense, that Hebrew word means power and strong. But in the negative sense, as it is used here of Simeon and Levi, it conveys harshness, greediness, and roughness. In other words, it is that they had the power within their hands to do that which was evil, and they were unrestrained. They did that. They were not restrained. In other words, Reuben, when it is used about the excellency of power, Reuben could have used his power and his authority and his might and his strength for a good cause. But we see that Levi and Simeon used their power and their strength for an evil cause, which caused them to be harsh, greedy, and rough. We see that they were unreasonable, they were unrestrained. We also see that they were unstoppable. The Bible says in verse number 6, "For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall." The word self-will here has the idea is they took it upon themselves. They were really wanting to do this. The word self-will has the idea of delighting in. They wanted to do this. That's how evil their anger was. It's not like they felt remorse for it. They delighted in doing this. They delighted wiping out all the men of Shechem. It is something that they enjoyed doing. And when a man is angry, and when his anger is unreasonable and unrestrained, you'll see that that anger will become unstoppable because he is delighting in the fruit of his anger. We also see that they were untruthful. We just read in Genesis 34, verse 13, when the sons of Jacob answered Shechem, the Bible says, they answered deceitfully. You see, in their anger, they could not be truthful. They had to be deceitful. So we see the will of their anger, but secondly, in our text, we see the warning against their anger. Now, it is interesting here because when we looked at Reuben, Jacob addressed Reuben, but then he changes the conversation. He basically reveals what Reuben did as he turns to all of his brothers and he says, "He went up to my couch. It was hid from all the other brothers." And now, in the midst of this benediction, he is exposing Reuben and revealing his sin. And now when he looks at Simeon and Levi, he is describing them as instruments of cruelty. But notice in verse number 6, he kind of gives a warning against anger. He says, "O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united." Now, we ask, what is he saying? "O my soul, mine honor, be not thou united." What is he talking about? He's warning his other sons. As he's talking about here, "O my soul," he's talking about those who would come after Jacob, those who would be, if you would, Israel, his descendants. And he looks at Simeon and Levi and he says, "Look, they are instrument of cruelty, but O my soul, come not thou in their secret." He is warning all the other boys and says, "Don't participate. Don't be part of this anger. Don't be part of their assembly. Don't give them mine honor." There are three things we see, and I'll go over those quickly. As he gives the warning, we see three things. He basically tells his sons to reject their mindset. Notice what he says. "O my soul, come not thou into their secret." Now you remember they were conspiring with one another. And we find out that the other sons were involved, as a matter of fact. But you remember when we read in Genesis 34, when Jacob confronted the sons, he specifically spoke of Simeon and Levi. And so in a sense, Simeon and Levi were the leaders of evil acts among all the brothers. There are the ones that kind of would conspire, would get all of the other brothers to come in and says, "Hey, let's go ahead and try to see how we can be deceitful, how we can lie, how we can pretend." Isn't it interesting that when Joseph decided to take one prisoner, who did he take? Simeon. That's who he took. And it seems that Simeon and Levi had this in common, that they would gather their brothers together. And so he says, reject their mindset, reject their philosophy, don't come into their secret. They kind of have this idea that, right, you want to be part of our group? That's what the world does all the time. That's where peer pressure comes in. You want to be part of this group? Come on. We're going to let you in our secret. And the flesh kind of is drawn to that, isn't it? Oh, we want to know what the secret is. We want to know what the whisper is. We want to be part of what is going on. And so he says, reject their mindset. Number two, separate from their fellowship. That's what Jacob says to his sons. He says, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. So when they gather together, separate from their fellowship. Don't come, don't participate, don't go in their assembly when they're having their meetings to conspire evil. Leave! Don't be part of that. He goes on to say the third thing is, refuse to give them honor. He says, come not thou in their secret unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. And so basically, as he says, mine honor, he's talking to all his sons, don't be united with them. Do not give your strength in combination with their strength. Do not use your strength and your abilities and your life to be involved with these two of your brethren. So we see the will of anger, the warning against anger, but thirdly, we see the wake of anger. Now, I use the word wake as a noun, not the verb, meaning the aftermath or the consequences of something. Because the Bible says, verse 7, cursed be their anger. Now, he just gave the warning to all of his other sons, and after the warning, he follows with the wake of their anger. Remember, at the end of Genesis 34, it seems that they got away. Jacob is just upset because all the nations in the land of Canaan might turn against him. And so he says, you've made me to stink among the people, but that's all that is said. And it seems to be over, but it's not. The curse upon Levi and Simeon would go on beyond to the next generations after them. God has not forgotten. Now, what we do see as we think about verse 7, he says, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. But then we see here at the end of verse 7, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, I believe as we look at the pages of, these three verses, we see Simeon and Levi are combined. But now we come to the last sentence of verse number 7, and we see, I believe, he's going to separate prophetically Simeon and Levi. Where, let me put it this way, Simeon is going to be divided, and Levi is going to be scattered. Now, we're going to see that actually is the prophecy. And notice here, I will. So it's something that is going to happen in the future. This is what is going to happen. Now, Jacob would die after this, not too long after this. And so he never saw it accomplished, but he would prophesy about what would happen to them. And that's where I would really want us to pay attention, because we see the difference here between Levi and Simeon. I want us to, first of all, consider the prophecy about Simeon. The Bible says here, I will divide them in Jacob. I believe that Simeon would be the one divided. As I mentioned earlier, remember Joseph, when he chose to take a prisoner, he chose to take Simeon. We know that Reuben was unstable as water, but in the sense we determined that he was very influenceable. But we ask ourselves, who is it that influenced him? And I believe it was Simeon and Levi. And particularly, as we would see, Simeon, because I believe that's why Joseph took Simeon. And we see that in Genesis 42, verse 24. We also know that Simeon later received his inheritance. As we think about, yes, Simeon is mentioned in receiving an inheritance, but I want you to go with me to Joshua chapter number 19 and see what his inheritance consisted of. So if you go with me to Joshua chapter number 19, we know that they are in the promised land, and some of the nations have been conquered. Some of them are still living there in the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 19, Joshua begins to divide the land in different portions to different tribes. And we come to Joshua 19. Let's look at verse 1. Right off the bat, the Bible says, and the second lot came forth to Simeon. And so we say, oh, look at Simeon receives a portion. Notice the rest of the verse. Even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Did you catch that? In other words, they really didn't get their inheritance. Their inheritance came within the inheritance of Judah. So in other words, when the land was divided, even Joshua, which is years later, we know here that Simeon is no longer alive, but these are the descendants of Simeon. They are not afforded a plot of land. In other words, it would be Simeon would be subject under Judah. All the tribe, if you would, have their own rule. They had their own governance within them, within each tribe. They all had their own portion of land. But when Simeon says you would receive your inheritance within Judah, that means that Judah would rule over Simeon. And Simeon would be, if you would, under, in subjection to Judah. So they really did not get their own inheritance. And in that sense, we could say that Simeon was divided from Jacob. Now, in the final benediction, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, if you remember, the children of Israel have been delivered. Now, again, it's important, right? Jacob came with his sons to Egypt. They lived there until Joseph dies. Then there arises a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And we know that they spent some time there. God raised a leader, Moses, to bring the people out of Egypt and to bring them into the promised land. And they come make that journey. And Moses leads them in the wilderness wanderings. We know that the first time they came to the border of the land, they did not have faith to claim the land as God said it was theirs. And so they had to go for 40 years. And everybody that was 21 years and older would die. And then the next generation would come into the land. And the land now, before they are about to go into the land, Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, he's going to give, if you would, his final words concerning all the tribes in Israel. And as we read the text, notice in Deuteronomy chapter number 33, he mentions the sons of Jacob by their tribes. So let's look at that. The Bible says, verse 1, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." So again, an important part here. "And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Sire unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All the saints are in thy land. And they sat down at the feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob." And was, now notice here, "the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, which is Israel, and he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together." Now I want you to notice, I'm going to go through each one of those names. Let verse 6, "Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few." Verse 7, so Reuben, right, the firstborn. Verse 7, "And this is the blessing of Judah," second son mentioned. Verse number 8, "And Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove in Mesa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah." Now, is it interesting here? Levi is mentioned. Reuben, Judah, Levi. We go down to verse number 12. "And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord." Verse 13, "And Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land." Verse 18, "And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice." Verse 20, "And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad." Verse 22, "And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's well. He shall leap from Bashan." Verse 23, "And Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor." In verse 24, "And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let them dip his foot in oil." Even under Joseph, if we go back to verse number 17, we see that Ephraim and Manasseh are also mentioned in this final blessing from Moses, but there's two that are missing. Two of the sons are not mentioned, Simeon and Issachar. Now, we're going to deal with Issachar later, but right now we're dealing with Simeon. Simeon, as Moses gives the blessing to all the, if you would, the tribes of the nation of Israel, he leaves out two of them, and one of them is Simeon. But Levi is mentioned. Now, that's interesting. And we're going to talk about Levi in just a moment. But here we see that Simeon and Issachar are omitted from this benediction from Moses. And eventually, if we go over to 1 Chronicles, let's see, okay, they go into the promised land. We see that they are made subject under Judah. Their inheritance is within the inheritance of Judah. And if we move over to the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 4, what happened when they get into the land? 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Notice with me, and let's begin read at verse 38. So 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 38. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. Now notice verse 39. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the inhabitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even of the sons of who? Simeon. 500 men, notice where they go, went to Mount Sire, having for their captains, and he mentions here different captains of the sons of Simeon, verse 43, and they smote the rest of the Amalekites and were escaped and dwelt there until this day. Now, do you remember in Genesis chapter number 49, what is said about Simeon and Levi, particularly Simeon? Remember, the Bible says, I will divide them in Jacob. And so it seemed that as we look at the short history, if we go really from the moment where they're about to enter into the promised land and conquer the people and divide the land, we know that Simeon is not going to be mentioned in the blessing of Moses. And later, when Joshua pronounces the division of the tribes and who is inheriting which portion, he says to Simeon that he is going to receive his inheritance within the inheritance of Judah, so they would be in subjection to Judah. And years later, we look at Simeon, we ask ourselves, where is Simeon? Well, we see that a good portion of the men of Simeon and some of their leaders and some of the captains decided of their own will and volition to leave Israel and go to Mount Sire, which is the descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. That's what happened to Simeon. As a matter of fact, Simeon never arose to prominence. And even to this day, I heard a preacher say, if you talk to the typical Jew and they see, or a rabbi today, and they see a Jew that is poor, that is despondent, and that is going roughly through life, you know what they'll say? They'll say something like this: oh, he's probably from the tribe of Simeon. There seems to be a reproach that has not left the tribe of Simeon ever. And here, Jacob basically said that they would be divided. And so they would be, as we would learn later. But what I'm interested in now is not just Simeon, there's another son. And this other son took quite a different road. And that is Levi. Now, I attach the expression that I will divide them in Jacob, and I believe that refers to Simeon. But then the second expression, and scatter them in Israel, I believe that refers to Levi. Because indeed, Levi would be scattered. Now remember, I just read Deuteronomy 33, and we see that Reuben, Judah, and the third tribe mentioned by Moses is the tribe of Levi. And we read here in Genesis chapter number 39, we see that as we read about the division of land, you remember what happened to the tribe of Levi? They would receive, I believe it was over 50 different cities scattered throughout all the tribes. So the tribe of Levi would not receive their portion of the land, but they, as if you would, the priesthood tribe, they would be in all of the cities scattered throughout all the tribes. That's interesting. So Simeon was divided, but Levi was scattered. So for Levi, it was quite a different story. It was not a division as much as it was a scattering. The Levites were scattered, if you would, because, remember, they were put in an honorable state. They were known as the priesthood throughout the promised land, the priest of Israel. They were given this prominent position. And we ask ourselves here, how did that happen? How did Levi, if you would, not become like Simeon? How did the descendants of Levi, if you would, in a sense, rose to even greater prominence than all the other tribes because of their priesthood. How did that happen? I believe that happened because of what happened in Exodus chapter 32. So between Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy chapter 39, and we could say Joshua chapter number 19 when the land is divided, what happened in between then? What happened is Exodus chapter number 32. So let's go there. What happened? The people are free from the Egyptian bondage. The law was given to them. And you remember Moses went up to the mount and he brings back the law of God. And if you remember the circumstances in Exodus chapter number 32, let's go and read in verse number 7. So Exodus chapter 32, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." So remember, God says, "Look, I'm going to just wipe them out. And I'm going to start with you, Moses." And we know that Moses did not want to do that, and he begged God for mercy. If we go down, if you would, go down with me to verse number 19. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot." That's, by the way, the right type of anger. "And he cast the tables out of the hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever have any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." How ridiculous does that sound? But notice what happens in verse 25. "And when Moses saw the people, that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gates of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And here it is, and all the sons of Levi gathered together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So we think about Levi as the priesthood, and we ask ourselves, what caused the, or if you would, how could God bless the tribe of Levi, but yet his prophecies still become true? Well, it's happened right here. You see, Levi would become the priesthood, but they would also be scattered to fulfill the prophecy. And we ask ourselves, how does that happen? What happened between Simeon and Levi, who, remember, they were brethren? Not only in birth, but in their blemish and in their behavior, they were like each other. They conspired with one another. They were at the root for the influence of all of their other brothers. But yet, as we look at their history, they took different courses, and one was divided from the land, but the other one was scattered throughout the land and received a special position. Why? Because they came on the Lord's side. Why? Because they, if you would, as you think about Levi, you remember what they did out of their anger? Earlier in Genesis chapter 34? They slew a man. They slew all the men in the city of Shechem out of their anger, out of a desire for revenge, out of a desire, if you would, out of self-will. They wanted to wipe out that population. and take all the spoils and make themselves rich out of it. And here, as we come to this scene where the whole nation of Israel has corrupted themselves and the people are naked and they're corrupt and they've put together a golden calf, and Moses appeals to all the people of Israel. He says, who is on the Lord's side? You can kind of hear a hush, a pause where all the nation of Israel is gathered there, and we say, well, who's going to stand up for God? And here, in the middle of that, the sons of Levi says, we're here. We are on the Lord's side. And as Levi pulled out the sword out of anger and revenge, he killed all the men in the city. Now, the descendants of Levi, they themselves now, they pull out their sword. But this time, they're pulling out the sword for the Lord. They were on the Lord's side. In both of those passages, anger is present. But one anger, and the response of that anger is not justified, but this anger out of, if you would, offense to God is justified. In obedience, they came on the Lord's side. You see, Simeon, remember, if you go back with me to Genesis 49, if you remember with me, Simeon and Levi, our brethren, verse 5. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation, both of them. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger, they, Simeon and Levi, slew a man, in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. So both Levi and Simeon would be cursed. But as we read of the descendants of Levi and Simeon, it appears that the grace of God is evident for the sons of Levi. But it is absent for the sons of Simeon. And you say, how? Because the sons of Levi decided to get on the Lord's side. They turned to the Lord. They had a desire to live for the Lord, to please the Lord. And I believe as we read of this verse here, and we read of Simeon and Levi, I believe what we can say emphatically is that these verses communicate both the curse, but also the grace of God. Curse for Simeon, but grace for Levi. Because the prophecy for Levi would be fulfilled. But also it would be fulfilled in a way that would give the sons of Levi the most special position afforded to any of the tribes of Israel. That's the grace of God. So, is anger a curse? Of course it is. But are we aware, if we come on the Lord's side, if we turn in our anger, that the Lord will be gracious to us? You see, they had pulled out a sword in their anger and slew the innocent. And now they were pulling out a sword in their righteousness and slew the guilty. And may the Lord help us to see that it is true here that anger brings about great damage. It brought great damage there. But the truth is, it is not irreversible. It doesn't have to stay there. It doesn't have to be left at that. Those who turn to the Lord's side. And we ask, well, how did that happen? Well, you remember Levi got angry and upset and did something in retaliation of his own will. But now we see that he wants to do God's will. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will stand with God? You remember what Levi used to do to all his brothers? Who's going to stand with me? Come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Come on. But now, when there's a cry, who's going to stand with God? The sons of Levi apparently are the only ones who stood with God. And I believe God was gracious in His curse upon Levi, the children of Levi, and yet still fulfilling the prophecy. And so, may the Lord help us to learn a lesson. Because I believe Simeon would never repent, and the descendants would be forever affected. Even to this day, there is a reproach upon the tribe of Simeon because they went and joined affinity with the children of Esau. But Levi was exalted to a priesthood because they came on the Lord's side. And may the Lord help us.